This is a download from BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
You're listening to The Morning Run with Lin Mark and Wang Xiaoning. 8:37 in the morning, to Monday, the 6th of April, also day 19? 20? 18? Day 19, I think, of the Movement Control Order. I started to really lose count at this point. I've been told it's day 20. So the question now, of course, is as the closer we get to April 14th, when the Movement Control Order is right now expected to end, do you think the Movement Control Order should be extended? So that's something that we're asking you on the BFM Twitter account this morning. That's at BFM Radio. Head on over and vote. Your options are yes for another week, yes for another 2 weeks, no, it shouldn't be extended, or do whatever it takes. Let us know what you think. We'll be taking a look at the results of this throughout the morning. But in the meantime, in about 15 minutes, we're going to be speaking with Tommy Xie, Head of Greater China Research at OCBC Bank, on China's path to economic recovery. But right now, we are taking a look at how markets ended the week on Friday.
Yeah, because global markets remain subdued over, of course, the economic impact of the COVID-19 outbreak. So we're looking at Japan, which has actually just opened. Their market is up 0.86%. But for other Asian markets, which closed on Friday, Hang Seng was down 0.2%. Shanghai was down 0.6%. Straits Times was down 2.6%. After they imposed their own term, circuit breaker, they don't have an MCO, they don't have a lockdown, they come up with their own term. And FBM KLCI was down 0.02%, whilst US markets closed 1.7%. That was the Dow. S&P 500 and NASDAQ both closed down 1.5% also.
So for a quick take on where markets are headed this morning, we have on the line with us Kingsley Jones, Chief Investment Officer at Jevons Global in Sydney. Thank you for joining us, Kingsley, and good morning. So the US unemployment rate for March rose to 4.4% from 3.5% reported in February. But the question now is this just the tip of the iceberg?
Yeah, probably is. I mean, the official numbers will grow with some delay due to reporting lags, and it takes a while for people to register for unemployment insurance. We've got to remember that many folks in the US will be experiencing layoffs for the first time just due to the breadth of the economic impact. And the adjusted Bureau of Labor statistics for the month of March actually indicated about 5.4% when they accounted for that. So we think layoffs will bunch in April, and we wouldn't be surprised to see about 10% by the end of April on US unemployment, given the rate at which we've seen reporting of layoffs. And that'd be around the same level as the peak of the GFC. There may be some offsetting employment gains when people are retasked into new areas like grocery logistics, public sanitation, and the war power style emergency manufacture of medical gear. That will help some, but a peak unemployment rate approaching 15% over the next 3 months doesn't seem out of the question to us.
And meanwhile, let's have a look at oil, right? Because it did stage a bit of a recovery early last week, although Brent is down 5% this morning. So just what are your views on oil at this moment?
Yeah, well, of course, you know, it's been a big dispute between Saudi Arabia and Russia. And it was President Trump who tweeted that maybe that was going to lead to some kind of deal. And that's why we saw oil rally very strongly in the back end of the week. West Texas, I think, got up about $29, but we'd be a seller at $30. I think Saudi Arabia and Russia were due to meet today, Monday, but they've postponed that to Thursday. So, you know, a lot of the optics here is pretty uncertain as to whether they're going to get a deal, and it's very unclear that the US would be involved. And therefore, I think the game theory looks pretty bad for a deal in the short term.
Now, Kingsley, the US is also heading into earnings season soon, with a number of companies amending or removing their forward guidance. So has the market already reacted to this, or can we expect more downgrades?
Has in some areas, some sectors. I mean, we've seen the finance sector very heavily marked down in the US, particularly the big banks like JP Morgan and Citigroup and Bank of America. I think that the Federal Reserve support measures that we're seeing coming into the market ought to support those. So, look, it's possible that they're already a bit oversold. But in other areas of the economy, I think that maybe there'll be a bit of a delayed reaction. You know, if we think of some areas that were strong before, like technology, there's been a lot of talk about home working and so on. That does provide some support. But business activity generally is going to be down. So we have to remember that. And I think there might be a little bit too high expectations in the technology sector.
And meanwhile, FOMC minutes will be released this Wednesday. Now, do you expect any clues in terms of what the Federal Reserve have in their arsenal to counter some of the economic crisis brought about by the pandemic? I mean, they've already cut rates very, very low. What other options do they have?
Yeah, well, look, that, I think that's a terrific question. As you know, I mean, that they have a range of measures. I think one of the most important ones is what they call yield curve management, where they adjust effectively their quantitative easing, their buying of Treasury securities to manage the interest rates at different levels of the yield curve. The reason why I think that's going to be important is that we had very, very disorderly markets at the beginning of this crisis. Pretty much all assets were going down together very fast in the US. And it's since come to light that there was a number of leveraged hedge fund strategies like risk parity that really got had to unwind very quickly. So that was like a huge margin call in the market. Fortunately, that's stabilized now. But I think the Federal Reserve, and this is why the FOMC minutes are very important, they will be very conscious that with a $2.2 trillion stimulus program, the U.S. will need to issue a lot of new Treasury securities. So they'll want to make sure, the Fed, that we don't see disorderly issuance of those securities or any sort of market failure in terms of them being not supported by the market.
Thank you very much, Kingsley, for speaking with us this morning. That was Kingsley Jones, Chief Investment Officer at Jevons Global, based in Sydney. And quite a startling number that he's put forward, that he doesn't find it completely far-fetched that we might see unemployment numbers of as much as 10% by the end of April, judging from the number of layoffs that have been reported. And if that 10% number comes about, that would be more than three times the number reported in February, 3.5%.
Yeah, I wonder whether he's a bit optimistic. 10% actually, which is the same as during the great financial crisis of 2008, whether that will surpass it. Because I think a lot of, I mean, let's face it, retail is one sector that's completely dead. Hospitality, tourism, those sectors are completely quiet. So whether we might see more than 10%, that's always a possibility. Now, what's a little bit encouraging is that the Fed, they're very aware that markets should not be disorderly. So in the early part of this last month, there was a huge shortage of US dollars, right? Mm-hmm. So I think the Fed actually introduced more repos to kind of encourage more liquidity in the system. So yes, they're watching markets carefully, because the last thing that any market doesn't like is uncertainty, right? So I think the FOMC minutes might give some clue in terms of what else they plan to do.
The US definitely does need to get all its ducks in line, because COVID-19 cases there have surpassed 324,000 as of Sunday, the highest in the world, with more than 9,000 deaths. And around the world, this morning, there are over 1.2 million confirmed cases of COVID-19, nearly 70,000 deaths worldwide. US authorities are bracing themselves for a difficult week ahead. President Donald Trump warned that deaths could be on par with the number of fatalities seen in world wars. His exact quote was actually, "There's going to be a very, very deadly period, unfortunately. I really believe we probably have never seen anything like these kinds of numbers, maybe during the war, a world war."
You know, he did a 180 degrees flip turn, right?
I mean, he was calling it a hoax just a couple of months ago.
Like, oh, it's no big deal. It's just like a summer flu. And look at this. I mean, this is what happens when you don't plan properly, right? Mm-hmm. And I think what's really worrying for US is the state of their health system. I mean, we actually in Malaysia have a lot to be grateful for. Every evening when I watch the DG do his press conference, even though I don't like what he's saying in terms of the numbers of deaths and the number of infections, it's still very assuring that we have a centralized health system, mm-hmm. unlike the US, where each state does their own thing. And there's almost a fight for ventilators, for masks, for gloves, PPE. You know, it's like, what's happening there? You know, and that's why it's becoming the hotbed of infections.
And of course, the UK has also been under scrutiny for its how slow it was to react to the coronavirus pandemic. And yesterday, UK Prime Minister Boris Johnson was taken to the hospital after struggling to recover from the coronavirus infection he contracted 10 days ago. And now the Queen also came out to give a statement trying to reassure the UK public and to encourage them to remain strong and stay at home during this COVID-19 pandemic. But right now, we're going to be heading into some messages. And up next, we're speaking with Tommy Xie, Head of Greater China Research at OCBC Bank, on China's path to economic recovery. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.